Of you that might be reading scripture, if you could come up. What's your names? Emily and Kaylee? Paige. Emily, Kaylee, and Paige. All right.
Reading Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 36. One of the scribes came near and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, he asked him, "Which commandment is the first of all?" Jesus answered, "The first is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind and all your strength.'
The second is this, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.' Then the scribe said to him, 'You are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and besides him there is no other. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself. This is much more important than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices.'"
When Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." After that, no one dared to ask him any question. While Jesus was teaching in the temple, he said, "How can the scribes say that the Messiah is the son of David? David himself, by the Holy Spirit, declared, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet.'"
And all the people said, "Both my mom and dad were excellent parents and incredible listeners. Here's my question for you. Are you?" Our scripture today in Mark has the Pharisees asking Jesus, "Which of the commandments come first?" And Jesus replies, "The first is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, with all your strength.'" And as I listen to this scripture play out in my mind, at first, I just jumped to the love part, because I love the love part. The love part of this commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart. I mean, I love that. But then I started to focus on what is before those words. The first three words, "Hear, O Israel." Sometimes we don't pay enough attention to those words. That in order to be great followers of the way of loving kindness, we must first learn to hear, to listen. So let me start my message again. Both my mom and dad were incredible listeners. Are you? My family, for some reason, has been chatting a bit on our text a bit lately about one of my uncles, Uncle Rudy, to be exact. Mom was one of 12 kids. Her brothers, all of them of German descent, all of them were, had such classic names: Adolf, Fred, Paul, Henry, Emil. And my favorite, because every time I saw him, I always wanted to put a red nose on him and some antlers: Uncle Rudolph. He was a bit sketchy, though, Rudy. There were rumors that in his day he had a terrible drinking problem. But in his later days, he was a devout Christian, and he loved to travel in his later days from Springfield, Illinois, where he resided, to our town, Wagner, South Dakota, to visit my mom and dad. Why? Because mom and dad were amazing listeners. They understood that first commandment, "Hear, O Israel." He always pulled into our house on a summer evening like 9 o'clock. And that first night, we'd all go to bed and listen to Rudy's voice go on and on, often until 2 in the morning. All Rudy, Mom and Dad, all ears. Hear, O Israel. One time after a week's stay, he and his two sons, RJ and Donnie, were actually in the car, ready to head out back home to Springfield. Mom and Dad were out there listening away, saying goodbye. And 2 hours later, they were still out there. Donnie and RJ actually had to come back in to go to the bathroom. And before we realized it, Rudy was sitting down on our kitchen table again, and he didn't leave for 2 more days. Mom and Dad were amazing listeners. They understood the commandment, hear, listen, O Israel. But they weren't only great at listening to people. They knew how to listen for God, for the sacred. Not just listening, but listening for holy direction, for a path. I remember as a kid, my dad would often go into his room to pray, and I'd quietly sneak up to his room. We weren't supposed to go in there. And I'd gently open the door, and there was Dad on his knees praying. Not saying a word, mind you, just listening. Just obeying the commandment, listen. O Israel, listening for God's direction. 15 minutes of absolute quiet. I could hear the concentration and the intent of his silence. There was a sound to that kind of silence. Have you ever heard it? One time I was sneaking in there, and Dad must have known I was there because he motioned for me to come. And for 15 minutes, I got to sit on Dad's knee while he prayed. I've never felt so close to the sacred and to Dad. Are you a good listener? Do you know how to listen for God's direction? Can you be silent long enough and trust the silence long enough to hear God speaking? Feel God pulling at your heart? Earth's crammed with heaven, every common bush afire with God, but only those who see take off their shoes. The rest sit around and pluck blackberries. That's Elizabeth Barrett Browning. We're too concerned in this society about these things. Our shoes, our egos, to ever risk taking them off and standing before God, stripped of our titles and achievements. By the way, I just have to say it, I kind of argue with that poem a little bit. Picking blackberries doesn't have to be unholy. On Monday, Emerson, my granddaughter, came home from 2 weeks with her grandparents in Iowa, and I shared with her that the blueberries and the peas were ready to pick. And so, both of us, barefooted, Emerson and I quietly picked blueberries and peas for about 20 minutes. I kept putting blueberries and piling in the peas into our basket, thinking we were going to make blueberry scones for breakfast, but when we were all done, there was not one blueberry or pea pod left. I turned to Emerson, and she smiled, her face blue. Papa, I'm so sorry. They're so delicious. And Piff likes peas a lot, she said. You want to hear God speaking? Rent a 7-year-old and pick blackberries or blueberries with them. Don't say a word. Just let the sound. Just listen to their little hand and their delightful smile. It's divine. Hear, O Israel. When I was a kid, my mom's family had a crisis. Uncle Rudy had disappeared. He had married a gal with 4 kids, met her at a bar somewhere, and they had 2 boys of their own, Donnie and RJ. But one day, Uncle Rudy just got up and left his house and never came back. And he took his two youngest boys with him. The police were looking for him. This really got my attention as a young kid, right? His family was looking for him. One of my uncles, Fred, and his wife, Mary, had to take in those four kids that were left behind. And all of us were left wondering, what in the world happened to Uncle Rudy and his two boys? One year, there was a family reunion in Pier, and it was hot, 101 degrees on July 4th. I mean, we were just miserable out there. We had a picnic by the river, and all of Mom's family, except, of course, Uncle Rudolph, who was missing, went swimming. And I spent my whole day jumping off my uncle's shoulders into the cool Mississippi River, but that whole hot, sweaty, miserable day, Mom and Dad listened, listened, and listened. And weeks later, we went on a vacation to, of all places, a place we'd never dream of going on vacation, Springfield, Illinois. Why there? We all kept asking that. Who in our family lives in Springfield? We arrived about 7 p.m. Dad pulled up to a telephone booth. You remember what those looked like? I remember because I got to go with him, the booth. Mom was in the car with her window rolled down, giving advice. Look up the Z's, honey, Zento. I thought I heard Aunt Mary say there was a collect call from somebody from Springfield, Illinois. She kept wondering if it might have been Rudy. Dad turned to the Z's in the phone book, and I watched his hand go down the Z's. No Zantos. And then Dad paused. And he got that same look he often had when he was kneeling in his room, listening for God's direction. He paused and just listened for a minute. It seemed like a whole day for me. And then I heard him say to himself, maybe Anto. Could he have changed his name? And he turned to the A's in that phone book. There, near the end of the page, his finger went down, and I read, Anderson, 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 Andrews. And then Dad's finger stopped, and there it was, Anto. I watched Dad's hand slide to the right, and there it was, Rudolph. Rudolph Anto. Not Zanto, but Anto. Dad wrote down the address, and 10 minutes later, all 10 of us McBrides were standing at the door of this tiny rundown house, and Mom was knocking on the door. Suddenly, the door gently opened just a crack, and there he was, Rudolph, the red-nosed reindeer, Rudy. But he scared out of his pants when he saw us. And he grabbed his two boys and he ran for the back door, fear in his eyes. Wait, Rudy, Mom said. We're not here to hurt you or catch you or turn you in. We just want to talk. And Rudy stopped, turned around, tears in his eyes, and he gently put the boys down and ran to my mother. They embraced. The first time he had embraced his family for over 5 years. That, my friends, is what can happen when we learn to listen to each other, when we learn to listen to God's loving direction for our lives. Mom and Dad knew how to listen like that. They knew the commandment, hear, O Israel, listen. Do you? Do I? I went to visit my son and his spouse, Iris, 2 weeks ago in New York. I made it a point to get up early there. Why? Because Sam gets up early in the morning, and I wanted to hear him, speak. I wanted to listen to him with my full attention. Those early mornings were precious to me because I know my silent Sam. You see, Sam doesn't talk much. He's very guarded about information, especially personal. But if you pour him a cup of coffee at 6:05 in the morning, on a quiet morning, sometime he lets his guard down enough and he shares. I live for that cup of coffee in the early morning with my son Sam. But I have to say this. When he's talking with Cindy and they're walking up ahead of me just a bit, I have a hard time hearing them. I noticed it a lot during this visit. Sam seems to mumble a lot, you know? And to be honest with you, so does Cindy. Don't tell her. Last week, I was in the back seat, and Cassie and Cindy were in the front talking, and all I heard was mumbling, mumbling, mumbling. Come on, speak up, will you? And then I was praying one morning, and I like to pray in my garden in the morning. And as I was listening for God, an old visit came to my heart. I was a pastor at the time in Vermilion, visiting a dear couple in our church. They were farmers, great givers to our mission program at the church, Bob and Viola, salt of the earth folks. Viola was in the kitchen, of course, making her famous brownies. That's the real reason I was there. And Bob was in the living room. And I turned to Bob and I asked, "Well, how's it going these days, Bob?" He shook his head. "Ah, not so good." Neither Viola or I speak very loud, and to be honest, when she talks, I can't really even hear her. I've told her to speak up, and then when I speak, to be honest, I just don't think she hears very well. Just then we heard this sharp voice from the kitchen. "I heard that, Bob." The next week, both Bob and Viola were wearing hearing aids in church. And this past week, I took a hearing test. Guess what? Sam's not mumbling. Cassie's not mumbling. Cindy's not mumbling. I don't hear very well. I'm probably going to get some hearing aids. But hearing aids won't help my real problem. This world's real problem. We don't listen to each other or for God's direction very well. So just a couple of pointers on listening, and then I'll be out of here. One of these pieces of wisdom came from taking my first hearing test online. In order to hear, you first have to blot out all the other noise sometimes. In order to hear, one must first learn to be silent. Practice being silent. Parents, you can do this with your kids. See how long they can just sit. Sometimes I sit and think, and sometimes I sit. Teach your kids just how to sit for a little while. I know it's not easy. You can shake your hand. Maybe 15 seconds, 20. Try to extend it. 2 minutes. Studies show that kids who can sit really become successful. I remember doing a disciple Bible study with a group of farmers once. And one of the things we read was the Ten Commandments. And on that week, the weekly theme was Sabbath. And I had 4 farm couples in this group, and almost all of them were unusually quiet on this Sabbath chapter. And finally, one of them said, "That's our problem, Pastor Brooke. We go 24/7. Even when we go to church, we take turns. One of us goes with the kids to church, and the other keeps going on the farm. When I was a kid, my dad was a farmer, but he at least took a break every once in a while to have some fun. We'd stop on a Thursday afternoon at 2 p.m. and go in the summer day, and he'd put us in the scoop and the tractor, and we all go to the river and play, have fun. Is that Sabbath, Pastor Brooke? Because if it is, I need some now." And suddenly, the floodgates opened in that group. And in that session, we discovered that the real reason we couldn't stop and listen for God in this era of our lives was that we didn't trust that there was anyone there to hold us up while we rested. We couldn't pause because we didn't trust that anything was there to hold us. In the listening for God, there is a trusting God. We do sit and listen, but in that comes a trust. And realize that there is something more out there and in here and in our communities. There is a river through every living, breathing thing. And God is in the midst of that river. Eventually, all things merge into one. A river runs through it. That's a quote from Norman MacLean. The river was cut by the world's great flood and runs over the rocks of the basement in time. On some of the rocks are timeless raindrops, and under the rocks are the words, and some of the words are theirs. That's Norman MacLean, and a river runs through it. And I always want to add, Norman, if you'd let me, one last phrase. And some of the words are God's. But we're never going to find that out unless we trust God enough. Then, listen. Music is beautiful, but half of music is silence, rest, pause. The sacredness is in between the notes. May we learn to listen for it. And all the people said, our choir is going to pause with us today. No, they've got a great song that they're going to sing. Light them up.